Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and if you need special prayer, email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Over the past few weeks, we've received several emails. I was just really impressed this past week. A woman who had a severe stroke who couldn't even email me looked up our church's phone number, and you can find the church's phone number on the website, www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. She called and was asking for prayer. I talked with her, prayed with her on the phone, and I was blessed by her witness, and I know there are people here that need to be blessed. If you need prayer, email me at Pastor Dave, and our church will pray for you. We're doing a series at the church called The One Another Principle, and just we started it. We looked at greet one another last week. Now we're going to look at serve one another. Serve one another. When I started working on this message or this sermon series, the Lord put it on my heart to seek His understanding of what one another, quote, one another, meant from His perspective. It hit me really hard this week, and I'm in my middle of my chelation with my lead poisoning, and it's been hitting me really hard. What hit me were the thoughts of how my life, our family, the church that I serve, our schools and workplaces would change if only we understood the principle of one another. Our scripture for today is written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Galatia. The Galatians is what it's called. The book is Galatians. It was a church that was struggling with legalism. And we're also going to look at part of the letter that he wrote to the church in Ephesus, the Ephesian church. And that church was needing encouragement. Before we go to our passage in Galatians and Ephesians, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God Almighty, we give thanks for your understanding. We ask this morning for you to help us to understand in a whole new way. Let us understand your living words of hope, love, and encouragement. Help us to learn how to serve others before we serve ourselves. Help us to submit our will and our ways to you and, of course, to one another. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Galatians 5:13 through 15. I'm going to read it from two different translations. The first translation is the NIV, the New International Version. And then I'm going to read Eugene Peterson's version from the Message. Galatians 5:13 through 15. You, my brothers, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. That's from the NIV version, Galatians 5:13 through 15. I'm going to read Eugene Peterson. He wrote the Message Bible. What a wonderful pastor and teacher Eugene Peterson was. And this is his version. It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence: love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. If you bite and ravage each other, watch out. In no time at all, you'll be annihilating each other. And where will your precious freedom be then? When you hear the word serve, what comes to your mind? When I thought about the word serve, a bunch of questions flashed across my mind. How well do I serve? How well do you serve? Who do you serve? Who do I serve? When do you serve? How do you serve? What is your attitude when you serve? Why do you serve? How much should I serve? Well, there was a budding artist. He once painted a picture of the Lord's Supper. He took it to the writer, Leo Tolstoy, for his opinion, and carefully and understandably, the Russian master of words studied the canvas. Then, pointing to the central figure, he declared, and the central figure is Jesus, Tolstoy pointed to the central figure and he declared, "You do not love him." Why, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, exclaimed the artist. "I know," insisted Tolstoy, "but you do not love him. If you love him more, you would paint him better." How well do you love Jesus? How are you painting him in your life? Few of us are budding artists like the man in the story, but the Bible teaches us that we're all to be servants, servants of the Lord Jesus Christ and of one another. With this in mind, we can reword Tolstoy's statement. If you loved God more, you would serve God better. Or maybe we could say, if we loved one another more, we would serve one another better. As Paul wrote to the Galatians, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." So how well do you serve? Have you ever thought about that? How well do you serve others? How well do you serve your spouse? How well do you serve your children? How well do you serve your coworkers or your boss? How well do you serve your church? It's really a great set of questions to think about. Maybe take these questions and rate yourself on a scale of 0 to 10, 0 being the worst and 10 being the best. How well do you serve? 0 to 10. How well do you serve others? 0 to 10. How well do you serve your spouse? Or your children, or your coworkers, or your boss, 0 to 10. How well do you serve your church? One of the Greek words for serve is doulos. Doulos is translated in the Greek as slave or servant. There are four basic words in the New Testament that are translated serve, or servant, or serving. All of these words have one basic concept. The concept of serving. The words serve, servant, slave, serving are used over 300 times, 130 times in the Gospel and Acts, and approximately 170 times in the letters. That would average out to have the word used 10 times or so in each book of the New Testament. The two words that are used most frequently are douloi and diakone, douloi and diakone. Douloi literally means to be a slave, to serve, to obey, to submit. It's used in both the good and bad sense. On the positive side, the word douloi means to serve God and others in a context of Christian love. On the negative side, douloi means to become a slave, to abase power. For example, in Paul's letter to the Romans, he taught that the people can be slaves, doulois, to sin, Romans 6:6. Diakone literally means table waiter or servant. We get the words deacon or minister from diakone. Think about having a really terrific table waiter at dinner. Your table waiter can literally make or break your mealtime. A really great table waiter has to have some sort of mental list that they go by, introducing themselves, tell you about the specials, get your drink order, come back after your drink orders and see if they have any questions or if you're ready to order, bring your order and serve you with a happy heart and a smile. Bring your ticket, but tell them there's no hurry. We usually have a great table waiter when we make contact with our table waiters. They really can make or break your meal. So who or what do you serve? That's a great question. Are you serving yourself all the time? How do you serve? Do you serve yourself before you serve others? Do you serve God? Do you serve money? Jesus told his followers in the Sermon on the Mount that you cannot serve two masters. No one can serve two masters, he said. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Matthew 6:24. When James and John's mother came to Jesus and asked if her two sons could sit at the right hand and the left hand of Jesus when he came into his kingdom, Jesus responded with a powerful statement of servanthood. Matthew 20:26-28. Jesus said, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first must become a slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Matthew 20:26-28. Those are powerful words. If you want to be first, you must be a slave. That is radical. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship, and we're talking about the one another principle, and this week we're talking about serve one another. And this is a tough message. And I know if you're listening, maybe I'm stepping on your toes, or you're getting a little antsy, or you want to turn the radio off. I don't know. But if you want to be first, you got to become a slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom. That's powerful. Give your life as a ransom? I'm going to go to meddling here a little bit. How well do you serve? How well do you serve? When my family lived in Illinois, I worked in the Goodyear tire business and the GMC truck franchise during the week, and I served our church as a youth pastor with my wife. And during the 18 years we served as youth pastors, we helped to organize at least 9 go and serve mission trips for our youth. Every other year, we would choose a location and raise our funds, and we would take the youth on a go-in-serve mission trips. Were a time to teach the youth how to serve others and for them to learn about God and living in community. We took youth to Colorado several times, to Florida, to Missouri, to North Dakota, to Vermont, to New York. The Go and Serve mission trips consisted of our group serving and working for a week. We did many jobs. We worked in old cemeteries, refurbishing them. We worked in retreat camps, restoring them and getting them ready for summer camps. In Florida, we worked with Habitat for Humanity, building homes. Every other year, we would have 20 to 40 teenagers sign up to go, and then an additional 10 to 12 adults loaded up, and we traveled across the United States. We were usually gone for about 2 weeks. We drove out in vans and took 2 or 3 days camping along the way until we arrived at our work site. We wanted to teach the youth that serving is an opportunity for them to give back to others. It was an opportunity to learn to serve one another with a cheerful heart. Our workday consisted of working usually from 8 a.m. until early afternoon, and then they had the rest of the day to rest or play. Almost always there was a lake or a river or an ocean were involved in their leisure time. Nighttime was group time, time to talk about our day and have the devotions to close out the night. On one of our trips, we headed from Chicago to Vermont. We spent the week restoring and renovating a campground and retreat center. The kids stayed in cabins along the lake. We stopped for the night outside of Buffalo, New York. We arrived too late to cook dinner for the 40 people, so we decided to set up camp and go into town for pizza. We set up all the tents and we headed to town. When we arrived back to the camp, we found a mess. All our tents had been knocked down. When the youth started checking their tents and their belongings, they found that someone had squeezed toothpaste into their pillows and sleeping bags and had tossed their stuff all around. To say the least, everyone was a little upset. let's say, very angry. I went to the camp host and explained what happened. The host said that the winds coming off Lake Erie were really, really powerful. It could have been a mini tornado, he said. I asked the man if the winds knew how to open toothpaste and squeeze it into sleeping bags. The host looked at me blankly and said, well, the winds are really strong at times. The camp was Minnetonka, but we began to call it the Winds of Minnehaha. It turned out that the camp host had several teenage children, and they had been sitting on the ledges by the bathrooms when we were setting up. We were pretty sure that they were the culprits. Some of our youth football players wanted to go over and pick a fight with them to get even. And I told everyone that that would not happen. I led a campfire devotion that night on becoming a servant and on serving one another. We had a long discussion on forgiveness and grace that night. I asked if we could invite the teenage culprits over to join us for s'mores and stories. And some of the youth went over and invited the boys to our campfire. As the evening began to unfold, our youth told the boys from the camp that they were forgiven, even though they had not yet apologized. When our youth decided to forgive and serve one another, the walls of unforgiveness and hurt came tumbling down. The boys apologized, and we had a great night of fellowship and fun. We even returned to Camp Minnehaha on the way back home. The youth and adults learned on that trip that going and serving was an opportunity to grow in serving others. When Paul was writing to the church in Galatia, they were struggling with legalism and trying to follow the laws. Paul told them that Christ had set them free. Their freedom was not to fall back into slavery, but into servanthood. Let's look at that scripture once more. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. Paul tells us the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll wrote a book called Improving Your Serve. And in the book, Swindoll used a triangle that stopped people from serving. At the top of the triangle was the word I, then me, then mine, and myself. It's kind of like I, me, myself. Sometimes I refer to it as an unholy trinity. Me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. And so I ask you today, who are you serving? Are you serving God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Or are you serving the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I? Have you ever looked at the number of self-help books in the aisles at like Barnes & Noble or some of the bookstores? I went online as I was working on this message, and I typed in self-help books in Amazon. Can you imagine that 80,000 items were listed? The thrust of many of these books and publications are, I am important. My rights are the most significant. If my rights conflict with your rights, I come first. If you cannot meet my needs, I cannot meet your needs. If I can't work it out together, you go your way and I'll go mine. One of the key words that is used is autonomy. Autonomy comes from two Greek words, autos, which is self, and nomos, which is law. It seems that everyone wants autonomy, or self-law, as they find their freedom. The truth the Bible teaches us is that we are to serve one another before we serve ourselves. We are to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. We are to become slaves before we become first. The truth is that we cannot serve two masters. John Ortberg wrote a book called I Would Like You If You Were More Like Me. Interesting title, isn't it? In the book, he shared a story about the civic duty enthusiasm from being called to jury duty. It was about 9 on a Monday morning, and he said he was about 150 unhappy campers sitting on plastic chairs cramped in a sterile basement room in San Mateo County Courthouse reporting for jury duty. We all had one thing in common. We wanted to be somewhere else until Larry happened. Larry works for the government, and however much we pay him, it's not enough. In a few short minutes, he won over the crowd of prospective jurors and infused us with a sense of honor and purpose. Larry said, "I know you're all busy people," he said, "but I want to say thank you. I want to tell you on behalf of the judges and our legal system in the county of San Mateo and really our nation, we're grateful for your service. Although almost no one is happy about getting a summons to jury duty," Larry said, "it is actually incredibly meaningful, and it's the foundation of the justice system in which people have a right to trial by jury of their peers." He told us a story about a 95-year-old woman who was no longer able to drive, but she took the 3 buses to get to the courthouse so she could serve. When she arrived, Larry asked her, "Did you call ahead like you're supposed to find out if you're needed for jury duty?" She said, "I couldn't. I don't have one of those push-button phones." Turns out she still had a rotary dial phone. Larry reminded us of the nobility of justice and the long centuries of struggle for it, and how even people around the world are fighting, in some cases dying, for the right to exercise this privilege. As he spoke, people stopped texting. They sat up straight. They nudged one another and seemed to be inspired. By the time my number was called, I was so excited to serve. When the judge asked me whether I could pronounce someone guilty, I told him I was a pastor and that according to the Bible, everybody was guilty. I said, "I couldn't even pronounce you guilty." I wasn't selected to serve on jury at that time, but the point is that the room full of sullen, silent, phone-checking, self-important draftees had been transformed into a community of joyful patriots in a moment of minutes. When people left the courthouse that day, they were talking and laughing like old friends. So what? How well do you serve? How well do you serve? How well do you serve God? How do you serve your family, your coworkers, your friends, and your relatives? How do you serve your enemies? Do you want to improve your serve? Paul gives us some simple advice from his letter to the Galatians. It is absolutely clear that God has called you to be a free life. Just make sure that you don't use your freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence: love others as you love yourself. That's the act of true freedom. If you bite and ravage each other, watch out. In no time at all, you'll be annihilating each other. And where will your precious freedom be then? Your So What challenge this week is: look and see who you can serve. Make a mental note of this idea and try to serve one person each day. Did you hear me? Try and serve one person each day. See how your life will be changed. See how the life of that person you serve will be changed. I know several people listening right now that have chosen during this sermon series to improve their serve. The five word phrase I would say is, "Here, let me help you. Here, let me open the door. Let me help you." I shared a few weeks ago about asking the grocery clerk or the postal clerk or the checkout person a simple question: "How's your day going?" Well, you have more homework. When you see someone who looks as they might need a hand, let them ask, "How can I help you?" Improve your serve this week. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give thanks that you call us to serve one another in love. Help us to see who we can serve, who we can help, and let us reach out and serve one another in love. In Jesus' name we pray. God loves you, and so do I. God bless, and have a great week serving one another. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week, and remember, God loves you. and so do we.